The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer on this, the third Sunday of Advent. We want to say welcome to all those who are joining us at home, those who are joining us online or on the dial-up. It's lovely to have you with us as well as we continue our preparations together for this season. You'll have seen the notices on the screen on your way in, but I just wanted to draw attention in particular to our midweek Lenten service on Thursday. This Thursday, we look forward to welcoming parishioner Dorothy Callan, who's going to speak about her life and why faith is important to her. That's on Thursday evening at 7:30. And our service is next Sunday, our morning prayer at 11 o'clock. And next Sunday evening is the service of 9 lessons and carols. And it is necessary for that service to book in if you wish to be here in person. The service will also be live streamed and it'll be available. We're conscious that many people will want to come and perhaps not have the opportunity because of the restrictions in our numbers, but that service will be live streamed next Sunday evening. Over these weeks, we have been preparing for the birth of our Savior. We've been thinking about different people who have been important people in preparing the way for Jesus. And today we're going to be lighting the third candle in our Advent wreath. On the first week of Advent, we were thinking about the patriarchs who prepared the way for the coming of Jesus. In the second week of Advent, we were thinking about the prophets and how they foretold the birth of our Savior. Today, we are thinking about John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Lord. In the Gospels, we hear many occasions when John announced the coming of our Lord. He urged us to prepare our hearts to make straight a path for him. And today we are going to light the third candle, if Andy would like to come and to light that candle. As we light that candle, we remember the words of John the Baptist, who said, "He must become greater, I must become less." We're going to begin our worship as we sing together our opening hymn, "Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord."
Thank you.
Good morning, and you're very welcome to this service of the Word. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today's psalm is Psalm number 146. Verses 1 to 10. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. As long as I have any being, I will sing praises to my God. Put not your trust in princes, nor in any human power. For there is no help in them. When their breath goes forth, they return to the earth. On that day, all their thoughts perish. Happy are those who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever, who gives justice to those that suffer wrong, and bread to those who hunger. The Lord looses those that are bound. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the stranger in the land. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he shall turn upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah. Please be seated.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Beginning to read at verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Here ends our Old Testament reading.
We sing together, How Lovely on the Mountains. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 3rd chapter, beginning to read at the 7th verse. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the tongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Can I please ask any children or young people here if now is the time for you to go to Sunday school? Thank you. Over the last few months, and actually for a lot longer, because I've only just arrived, but it's not all about me. Over the last wee while, we've been having Alpha in St. Finian's, and the way it's done in St. Finian's is quite special. And it's a chance for people to meet online, people who have been Christians for a long time, people for whom their faith is very young, and just to listen to one another, listen to ideas and chat. And it's a safe place to do that. Nicky Gumbel is the creator. He was the one who put Alpha together. And he speaks, there's a conversation we're going to watch. He speaks with Bear Grylls, who has also been involved in Alpha. And they talk about what Bear Grylls' faith means to him. So let's watch this video.
Standing on the top of Everest, that must have been an incredible experience. Did it change your perspective in any way?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's hard to come back from a mountain and an experience like that unchanged. And, you know, we had four climbers lose their lives whilst we're up there. And I think it's that shakes your confidence a lot. And I think what I came back with, though, is gratitude, actually, above all, and an awareness that we were lucky to survive. And the climbers that died were certainly no worse climbers than us. They're probably better climbers, but we were just luckier. And I was very grateful man, is the honest answer, when I got off the bottom of that. But we were there a long time. It's 3.5 months of being cold and scared is the reality of it.
You've written in Facing Up about some of the extraordinary challenges you faced. How important was your faith in all of that?
My Christian faith it's always hard talking about faith because, you know, I know we're in a place where it's fine to talk about it, but I don't just talk about it because I'm amongst people who don't mind that. You know, faith is intimate and it's personal, but it means the world to me. And it was a rock to me during those times, and it's a rock to me, you know, in normal life. And I think life can sometimes be a bit quite fluffy, you know, and we race through it and it's all so busy. And I think the magic, what I always found on the big expeditions, the big mountaineering side of things, is that everything slows down and life becomes much more raw. And it becomes about relationships, it becomes about life and death. And I prayed every day on that mountain, and it was a real backbone to me. And it's taken me a while, if I'm honest, to be able to talk about it. But it is a backbone, I think would be the way I'd describe it. And to be able to, you know, I'm not very good on the Bible. I don't know nearly enough verses, but I know a few. And the few I know, I really depend on. And one of them is that it says, where does my help come from? I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And it says, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven, creator of our earth. And there have been an awful lot of times where I've been breathing out of my backside, sweating like mad, scared, cold, things are going wrong, and you hold on to simple things. And my faith has never been very complicated, but it's always said that in those moments, the good, the bad, if you look for me, I'm right there. And that's kind of helped me a load.
What would you say to somebody who says, well, maybe you're using your faith as a crutch, a kind of safety harness?
Probably true. You know, I mean, what does a crutch do? It holds us up. And I don't mind saying it holds me up, but I think it's more than a crutch. You know, I look at it as something stronger than that. And you know, as I said, it is that backbone. It runs straight through who I am and where I lean on in my life.
There's a lot to be said for an uncomplicated faith. It doesn't mean we switch our brains off, but sometimes we can state things simply. And let's do that now as we share together the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the third Sunday of Advent. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together, what a friend we have in Jesus.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you could indulge me for a few moments and try to visualize a situation in your head. And in this situation, we have the same man, and he's going to two doctors' surgeries, and he is presenting with the same symptoms in both of the surgeries. He's been experiencing breathlessness after the slightest exertion. He's inclined to feel quite dizzy at times, and he seems to feel tired all the time. And as he goes into the first doctor's surgery and he gives his symptoms to the doctor begins the conversation by asking him all about his family. He asks him about how his favorite football team is doing. And he inquires in a very jovial way about the forthcoming office Christmas party and about how he might plan to dodge the COVID restrictions and enjoy a good old knees up with his colleagues. And after weighing the man and taking his blood pressure, the doctor then says to him as he goes out the door, he says, you know, you should maybe think about losing a few pounds in the new year. And he sends him on his way. And then, as the man enters the second doctor's surgery, and he explains his symptoms to the doctor, exactly the same symptoms, the doctor engages in a conversation with the man about his diet and his lifestyle. He weighs him, he takes his blood pressure, and as he looks at the readings, he says straight out to the man, I believe that unless you lose a stone and a half, in the next few weeks, you are in danger, serious danger of a stroke or a heart attack. Now, I suspect that the man attending the second doctor would go away with a much greater sense of purpose and urgency about what was required of him. Sometimes it's actually much more loving to be direct. And yet that's not always easy because we're afraid of losing the other person's friendship if we are totally honest with them. And there is more than a touch of the second doctor in the straight talking of John the Baptist. And one of the difficulties of the season of Advent each year is that we have to get past John the Baptist before we welcome the Savior afresh. And what John does is he calls his listeners to look really hard at their lives. And he wasn't afraid to point out that when things were amiss with their relationship with God, it would have repercussions that were potentially catastrophic. And even when we look at the way John lived his lifestyle and where he operated in the middle of the desert, it's interesting to reflect on where he set up shop, so to speak, in the wildness and the remoteness of the Judean desert. That wasn't an easy place to go to. Undoubtedly, it would have involved days traveling in the heat and the dust. It would have meant crossing uncomfortable terrain. And yet people seemed to be going in their droves to the desert because there was something about this man and his message that drew them out there to hear him. And maybe it was in large part to do with the dissatisfaction that they felt within their own lives. I think usually that's the biggest single factor that will always drive us to change our behaviors, to change things in the workplace, in the church, or anywhere else. That sense that what we're doing right now isn't really working. And we need to take a look at how we might do it better or differently. And it would seem to me that people were drawn to John the Baptist not only because of who he was and what he said, but also because of what he offered those who came to him. And what he offered those who came to him was a chance to come clean about their lives, to stop pretending that they were someone else. And most importantly of all, he was offering them a chance to start all over again. And they did this through a ceremony in which they allowed him to wash them off, the ceremony of baptism. And John, in his preaching, urged people to wake up, to reorientate their lives, and not to miss the new thing that God was doing right before their eyes. And then by preaching about the things that were wrong in their lives, each of the three groups that we heard about in today's gospel reading who approached John, each of these three groups were prompted to ask a simple question. And it's a really powerful question. They asked, what should we do? What should we do in response to all of this stuff that we're hearing about our spiritual life? And in each case, John's advice is very simple, it's very direct, and it's all to do with right relationships and to do with aligning our values with the righteous values of God's kingdom. And so to the first crowd that asks him this question, what should we do? He speaks about how the man who has two tunics should share with the one who has none, and how the one who has food should do the same. And that sounds really simple, doesn't it? But we all know how deceptive that this simplicity can be. Because I think we all know in our head that it is right, absolutely right, to share with those in need. And yet, there's a part of us that continually fears for our own future well-being. If I gave away this, will I then be able to afford something else I would like? And so on. And when the tax collectors asked John the Baptist that same question, what should we do? He told them not to collect any more than they were required to. And then when the soldiers asked him, he told them not to extort money or to accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. If we want to be right with God, if you want to be right with God, if I want to be right with God, and John suggests to us that there's nothing more important, it all stems from doing the right things, from being less self-centered and more other-centered. And this is where it gets uncomfortable for a guy like me, because John was particularly direct in attacking the religious establishment for their appearance of piety, while in reality there was nothing of substance in their hearts. It's all man-made rules that they were observing, rather than these biblical principles of generosity and other-centeredness. So we might ask the question when we hear John firing away with all cylinders in the desert, how can we tell if John himself was genuine? I think it's obvious when he stresses over and over again in much of his teachings
that he is merely pointing the way to Jesus, who is so much greater than he is. John is not setting himself up as a powerful preacher or a man with a big reputation, even though he was both of those things. But he just longed with all his heart for people to prepare their hearts to receive Jesus and to be set free from all that had held them back. And in doing this, he acknowledged his own unworthiness and he deflected all the glory to Jesus, who was still to come. And you know, whenever we in our lives in 2021 observe individuals or we observe communities who are living these gospel values of simplicity, of sharing with those in need, of pointing others to Jesus, there's something profoundly attractive and inspiring in that. And it draws many people to leave themselves behind and to set themselves on a path of discovering more and wanting to discover more about the one who wants to set their hearts ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit. So on this third Sunday of Advent, as we draw closer to Christmas, may we not be afraid in our lives to make that fresh start, even this very day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this day when we think about John the Baptist, we also reflect on our own lives. And as we hear what he teaches and preaches, we're confronted with our own shortcomings, those parts of our lives that we would rather were kept hidden away from others. We think today of the secret sins that we try to conceal, our arrogance and pride, our lack of generosity or concern for others, our unwillingness to stand up and to speak out for those who have no voice or platform to do so, our desire to be popular, and our fear of offending others. And as we confess these things and others, we thank you for your love and for the power of your Holy Spirit to cleanse and to renew our lives. And so we ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we want to pray especially for all who have been affected by the tornadoes in Kentucky over the weekend. We pray for all who were bereaved and injured. We pray for those who had homes and businesses destroyed. And we pray for all involved in the response and rescue operation. May they be led to those that they can save and help. And we pray that you would be there on the ground, working through your people to bring help, to bring relief, and to bring hope to those who have suffered so dreadfully over these past days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we remember this morning all who struggle with memory issues. We pray for those suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia, and we pray for their families and carers. We pray for those who themselves feel frightened and bewildered by what's happening to them. We ask you to dispel their fears and to bring your peace. And we take a quiet moment now just to pray for those known to us who are struggling with different things at this time. And we bring them into God's healing love and his presence. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's sing together to our transformative God, O breath of life.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for worshiping with us this morning, those of you who are here and those of you who are home watching online. Coming into Christmas is not always a straightforward time for people. Please take care of yourselves and take care of those around you. And if you need anything, please don't hesitate to ask for help within the church and to ask for prayer. Let's close with a blessing prayer. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "To God Be the Glory."